Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
And we thank you very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio. Jim Masters here. Always a pleasure to have you with us. It is 1 p.m. Eastern right now and 10 a.m. Pacific. Great to have you with us. It is February 13th, 2018. It is Tuesday, and we hope you're having a terrific day. We're continuing our conversation with somebody who actually I had an opportunity to personally meet an interview for a TV video interview recently in the television studio for CUTV News in our television division and broadcast division. And her name is Dr. Victoria Monlock, and she is simply amazing. She is so passionate about her work, and everything she does is a natural approach. Dr. Monlock's natural approach to women's health is driven by personal experiences and the success of her patients. We've talked about things in the past like hot flashes, mood swings, headaches, fatigue, reduced libido, other symptoms of menopause, keeping you from, you know, living a happy and fulfilled life. Well, Dr. Victoria Monlock is a distinguished expert in bioidentical hormone replacement, and her mission is to help you live a healthier and more vibrant life. She feels women need to know there is a safe way to find relief from hormonal imbalances. And she even has a patient in her 70s who's been seeing a doctor, dozens of doctors, and was virtually homebound. She began bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, and everything changed. She told Dr. Monlock she was training for the first half marathon. Can you imagine that? Dr. Monlock truly believes more women would be living life to the fullest if they understood the efficacy of natural hormone replacement. Now, a licensed OBGYN, Dr. Monlock has taken care of women and families for some 26 years. After facing her own health crisis, she left an 8-physician OBGYN practice, of which she was president, to pursue what she describes as wellness medicine. She was determined to change the paradigm, not just for herself, but for her patients as well. The answers all pointed in the same direction, leading Dr. Monlock to where she is today. And patients seek her counsel from across the country. She meets patients who feel their voice has not been heard. Today, we're going to continue the focus on adolescence, a segment of our society where the voice really isn't heard, sometimes pushed aside and rendered irrelevant, and that shouldn't be. And Dr. Monlock works with adolescents as well so they can express themselves, and she helps them. She says it's very powerful when patients feel understood and they resolve health issues which have held them back in their life. It's what she does and loves to do. So let's welcome back for part two of this particular series with us, Dr. Victoria Monlock. It's great to have her with us. Dr. Monlock, thank you so very much for joining us once again on CUTV News Radio. Always a pleasure to have you back with us. Welcome.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
And it was a pleasure meeting you, too, when a month or so ago we got a chance to meet in person and do the video interview as well and really dig in deep into the amazing work that you do. Today we're going to continue to focus on adolescence. Specifically, if folks weren't listening last week to part one of this two-part series, adolescents really are, in our society, in many different areas, shunned or disregarded. You know, they're no longer children that need super attention, yet they're not adults where sometimes they're points of view or their questions or their issues are really considered relevant. They're sort of stuck in the middle, aren't they?
They are. And, you know, in many ways, as they progress through adolescence, they're experimenting themselves. One day they may have a foot in childhood, and the next day they may have a foot in adulthood. And they're kind of testing the waters as to where they feel the most comfortable as well. In the whole field of healthcare, they're kind of in a no man's land because they really don't fit the model of a typical pediatrician's office. And as we talked about last time, you know, a pediatrics office is set up for, you know, children, are you on the growth curve? Do you have your vaccines? You know, any questions? And it's a rapid fire, you're in, and 5 minutes later, you're out. And they see a lot of kids on a daily basis. But the minute an adolescent asks the question about, doc, what about my cramps? I'm having heavy bleeding with my period. It's like throwing a monkey wrench into the works, and everything grinds to a halt. And it's like, oh, and they're not really set up to take the time that an adolescent needs to ask the questions for things that are happening to them that they just don't understand. So the usual response is, well, we'll put you on the pill and we'll revisit this. And, well, but doc, I don't want to go on the pill. Oh, well, we'll try it for a couple months and then we'll talk. Well, that's basically a dismissal. And so adolescents feel like they, A, are trying to ask the question, B, they're dismissed. So the next time they are asked to go to the doctor's office, they don't want to go because that doc isn't going to listen to me anyway. And the mom is trying to do the best that they can. They're trying to get questions answered for their daughter. But nobody asks the real question, what are your hormones doing? And so an OBGYN is a perfect forum for that mom-daughter combination to ask that question because the OBGYN deals with that every day. And it doesn't mean that a visit to the OBGYN is an exam. Oh my gosh, I don't want my 12-year-old or 15-year-old getting a pelvic exam. They don't need that. It's not warranted, but understanding what their body is trying to throw at them and what they're experiencing is something the OBGYN has a lot of knowledge in. And my premise is we should be checking hormone levels because, like every other science of medicine, it is the science of where are your hormone levels and are they age appropriate for where you are at 15 years of age or 18 or 12, or even for the mom who may be having similar symptoms, even though she is in the 35 to 50-year-old age group, those symptoms may similarly mimic what her daughter is going through in her teens. And my approach to that perimenopausal woman is the same. Where are your hormone levels? Are you balanced? Are you age appropriate or not? If you actually are making more of an estrogen component than a progesterone component, you're going to have very heavy, crampy periods because the progesterone isn't there to balance it out. And if you don't have enough progesterone, your PMS is going to be out of control, and you're going to have a lot of GI bloating. And so there are some very specific symptoms and body symptoms that happen because you don't have enough or you have too much of your female hormones around. Then take the whole issue of what is your testosterone or your male hormone doing in response to your female hormones being off. And that's another question of, are you having mid-abdominal weight gain? Are you having loss of hair on the top of your head? Or are you growing sideburns? Or are you starting to shave a mustache? And all of that sounds awful, but especially if it's happening to you or you're having acne, that you're questioning whether or not you need to go on a medication as harsh as Accutane. Those are some very real concerns, and the easiest thing is to check your hormone levels. That's simple blood work. And the person that can help maneuver through what those levels mean is unfortunately not the pediatrician where most of these teenagers are. It's at the OBGYN's office.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of factors to consider because, you know, a lot of times adolescents are spending hours and hours and hours on the internet, and sometimes when they feel unheard, they're trying to figure things out themselves, and they're looking at online stuff or just disregarding symptoms and things of that nature, and that could take them down a path that is not healthy and can lead to serious issues, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we touched on it last time as well, is that sometimes Dr. Google is not your best, most reliable source of medical information that you hope your daughter finds. And as the daughter herself, if she's not getting answers from the pediatrician and mom may be unavailable to her because maybe mom is in a high-powered job, stays late, maybe mom works second shift and she's not home when she gets home from school, maybe mom travels for her job, maybe mom's working two jobs, and, well, we're certainly not going to ask dad that question because he's ill-equipped to answer that and doesn't want to answer that. So all of a sudden, she's got very few resources to look into to get her questions answered. So if Dr. Google can't answer it, well, maybe my best friend, or there's that reality show. Maybe I should check out that reality show. And it makes every parent cringe when they hear that statement because you don't have a clue what's being said on many of those shows or in many of those forums. So you really don't have a reliable resource of information. Schools these days are no longer comfortable, nor should they be the resource where medical information about something as individual as how are your hormones treating you and PMS, those are things that don't belong in a school system either. Yet many times that's where parents hope that their children may get some of that information. So it's a very difficult subject, but yet not so difficult if we realize that it's medical information we're looking for. So if you turn to the right person in the medical community who's equipped to answer that question, it really boils down to it's the OBGYN.
Absolutely.
The proposal that I'm putting forth is, why not have that adolescent, therefore, have mom bring that adolescent to the OBGYN office at age 12 when the majority of their major hormonal change is happening to them, and that's when they have the most questions because their body is undergoing a lot of change. And then again, have them have their second visit at age 16 where they've had the kickstart of their periods kick in. They've had the ability to kind of get used to their new body and all the changes that are going on, yet there still are abnormal periods. There's still going to be variable symptoms like variable PMS 1 month and better the next. But now they're getting into, you know, competitive sports, and they're getting into other activities that may also impact their female hormone levels. And the importance of showing not only the teenager, the adolescent, but their mom, that your female-male hormones not only need to balance, but that your female-male hormones are part of the family of hormones, which are the foundation of our health in general. Now, that's a concept that many people are never really told, but think of the fact that the foundation of everyone's health is not what is your blood count, what is your kidney function, what's your liver function. What the foundation of your health is where is your hormonal balance? So that includes the family of hormones, which is your female-male. It includes your thyroid. It includes your adrenals, which is your cortisol, and it includes your insulin and how you handle your blood sugar. So those four groups are your family of hormones, and it's your foundational base of your health, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you're adolescent, whether you're mid-aged, whether you're in your 50s to 60s and beyond. All of us have that foundation of health, which is our hormonal balance. That's our foundation for all of us.
Absolutely. It really, really is. And you're saying it so eloquently and so beautifully as well. And you explained it in a way that's very easy for people to relate to and to understand. You know, obviously some parents are not comfortable talking about these things. So take us through sort of an example of that first meeting when the adolescent is coming into the office with the parent, of course, and seeing you for that first time. There's probably a lot of jitters and fear of the unknown for the adolescent. Maybe the parent isn't even sure of, you know, what to ask or what how to treat all of this. Some of them may come from different backgrounds, whether they are religious backgrounds, different ways of thinking, maybe very, free to speak about anything. Some may be very traditional and reserved. You probably come across all different segments of society. So when they do come to you, what is the first thing that happens? What's the first thing you do as you welcome them into your office and then take it from there?
Well, I have a tool that I call the Hormone Symptoms Worksheet, and it's a set of symptoms that are crossing many different avenues of what you would consider hormone life. For instance, the symptoms that are on there for women of all ages are things like short-term memory loss or poor sleeping patterns or dry skin, dry eyes, migraine headaches, heart racing, fatigue, muscle aches, joint pain, heartburn, bladder leakage, or feeling like you have to go to the bathroom more often or getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, or PMS symptoms like feeling moody or crying more than you think you should, bloating with abdominal gas and having breast tenderness or fluid in your ankles where it leaves sock marks, or again, acne and, you know, having more hair on your face than you think you should, or losing hair from the top of your head. But with adolescents, we actually tailor that a little bit more to things that are going on with them, like body image. What is their image of their body? And are they happy with how their body is changing? Or do they feel like they belong in a group at school? Do they feel they have friends? Or do they feel like they're left out? Or are they bullied? Are they picked upon? And again, they're the same types of things like, are they sleeping well? Are they eating well? Do they feel they have to not eat to lose weight? What is their feeling about exercise? And a lot of that we're trying to kind of explore the whole idea of eating disorder, which those seeds get planted very early in our society as teen magazines emphasize body image and the types of fad diets that are out there, and not necessarily good nutrition always being emphasized, but that's where a lot of the, quote, information that our teens get is not necessarily around the kitchen table at night with mom and dad having the family dinner, because that doesn't happen as often as we'd like anymore either with busy lifestyles, but it's coming from perhaps internet or magazine or from friends that you're getting information about. I'm doing the grapefruit diet. Isn't that wonderful? And mom cringes when she hears about it 8 days later. Oh my gosh. Or I'm skipping breakfast and lunch to just eat one meal a day. Well, no, that's not a good thing. Or, wow, I'm running 5 miles a day and I'm skipping 2 meals a day and just having one. All of a sudden, that enthusiasm of adolescence can become something that can be destructive to the health of that adolescent. But asking those questions early is key to having mom be involved in that discussion. It's also a way of saying, we're going to check your hormone levels so we know where they are, which is a simple blood test. You know, when we have questions about does somebody have a thyroid problem, we check their blood levels, which is a concept all of us feel very comfortable with. Yet when we have issues that may relate to periods that are too heavy or cramping that seems out of proportion in a teenager, or they're having acne or PMS that seems extreme, why don't we have the same scientific thought process of checking hormone levels? That kind of gets lost by the wayside. So I bring the science in as well as what are the symptoms that you're feeling so that we can match the symptoms with the hormone levels and help take the mystery out of how you as my 12-year-old daughter is really feeling. And then mom becomes an ally in that understanding of what's going on with her daughter, and now the daughter feels comfortable asking the mom, wow, I'm having this symptom. Do you think that relates back to that blood test we did at the doctor's office? And all of a sudden, you've got another level of mother-daughter bonding going on that maybe you wouldn't have had if that appointment at age 12 never would have happened. So similarly, at age 16, we step it up a notch and we do that same format, but now it may even be more important to address things like bullying at school and eating disorder, because now perhaps competitive sports has entered the picture. And maybe there are after-school activities that are going on that make it even more difficult for the teen to connect with her mom. But it's even as important to keep that conversation going. And there's nothing wrong with, and we should keep, the science of checking hormone levels with the symptoms of what that hormone symptom worksheet gets marked with, as our teen daughters tell us. They still have PMS. They still have bloating. But I don't have that bladder stuff going on like I did before. But, oh, my gosh, I'm gaining weight in my abdomen, and I don't understand, and my acne is out of control. Do I need Accutane, Doc? Well, let's check a level and find out. In other words, we're putting science into the world of medicine, and there's nothing wrong with science in the world of adolescent medicine either.
And people are realizing that testing the hormones is essential, because a lot of times a lot of things, especially in Western medicine, are really determined based specifically just on blood work. Go have blood work. Let's see what the blood work looks like. And disregarding the hormones, not just for adolescents, but for all ages, female, male, across the board. You find that to be the case a lot, that the hormones aren't necessarily, you know, unless they're thinking of a possible thyroid condition, generally the hormones are not necessarily dug into and really looked at. It's just whatever they see in the blood work, and then that's it.
Exactly. And many times a teen will come in and their physician may check some blood work, but it's not necessarily including the blood work that would be the most helpful, which is their female and their male hormone levels. So instead they say, well, your blood count looks good, your kidneys look good, your liver looks good, and your cholesterol looks really good. So everything looks great. And your first thought is, well, if everything looks great, why do I feel like this? And it's like taking your car into a mechanic and saying, I've got this knock in the engine, and they put gas in the gas tank and say, oh, you're all good. Everything checks great. You got a full tank of gas. Yeah, but did you look under the hood? Oh, we don't need to. Well, wait a minute. That's what I brought it in for. No, 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 you're good there. It's the same principle. Would we be happy as a consumer to be told by our mechanic, oh, I didn't check that, but it's okay? But yet we accept that in the world of women's health and adolescent female health. We accept that somebody looks at us and says, well, you look okay, therefore you're okay. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we check my hormone levels? Oh, we don't need to. What's wrong with that picture? We are not using the science of what can help us address the issue that the patient comes in with. So So we train our patients early and young, as well as their moms, that, well, your concerns aren't important enough for us to check blood work like this on you. So the message is, it's not anything I need to check. Therefore, the message may come across, you are not important enough to me. And therefore, women get the idea that they are second-class citizens in the world of health. Oh, they're just going to dismiss me anyway, so why should I bother to go? What a disturbing thought.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What about, and I'm sure from time to time you come across this, how do you overcome any cynicism at all to any of this?
In regard to other healthcare providers being cynical about it? Or with regard to patients?
Or yeah, maybe a little of each. Maybe the patient not familiar with understanding hormones and what it's all about and replacement therapy. And then, of course, with their doctors themselves.
Well, a lot of physicians, unfortunately, are not taught the science of following hormones, even in medical schools. So that whole concept is something that if the doctor you seek out doesn't have that training or doesn't have that level of understanding, then unfortunately it puts the onus back on the parent or the mom to find the healthcare provider who does have that training. So I always let my patients know that if they have questions, I'm going to find the answers for them, and I am going to check their hormone levels. And I will say to the audience listening that if you have difficulty finding the practitioner who can help you answer the questions you need answers for, then you might need to look beyond your primary care, beyond your OBGYN. You may even need to look beyond your community. So go online and look for bioidentical hormone and physicians who are versed in and comfortable in doing hormone medication and hormone levels following their female patients, and at least explore whether these are physicians or healthcare practitioners that they're comfortable dealing with. I actually have graphs that I use as part of my teaching tool, and I have patients that I take care of coast to coast because they do have trouble finding someone in their community. And so I will take care of them and send them a lab slip to get their blood work done in their home community. I can counsel them over the phone or over Skype in the internet as to what we're going to do about that. And I can prescribe medication across the country. So realize that the old model of you have to see a physician in your community may no longer fit, because if you cannot find what you need in your community, you may need to look beyond.
Absolutely. I want to get the website out because you're writing new books and there's so many incredible things for people to be aware of. The website that they can go to learn more about everything we've been talking about in this series with Dr. Victoria Monlock is Victoria J. Monlock, and I'll spell that for you, M-O-N-D-L-O-C-H, and then the letters M-D-S-C.com. That's Victoria J. Monlock, M-D-S-C.com. Dr. Monlock, always an honor and a pleasure to have you with us here on the show. We really appreciate all of this vital information you're sharing with us and hope we get a chance to chat with you again real soon. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And my book should be coming out in the next month or two, Blossoming. So once that comes out, look for it.
Fantastic. We appreciate it. Best of luck with everything. And we'll surely talk with you again soon, I am sure. This is Jim Masters. Thank you for joining us as well. For all of us here at CU TV News Radio, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We appreciate your tuning in as often as you do. Stay tuned for a great show coming up. But for now, have a terrific day. Thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.